Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Grocery stores have been essential businesses during the coronavirus pandemic, and one grocery store and butcher shop in Urbana, El Progreso, has also been providing essential information to the Spanish-speaking community. In addition to updating their customers on items they have in stock, like toilet paper and dry beans, they've also been sharing public health information about social distancing and the stay-at-home order on their Facebook page. Yesterday afternoon, we called Marley Corrado. She manages the store. She started by telling us a bit about what customers can find there.
So we have everything from products that you will find in Mexico, Central America, South America, some European products, some African products, just a variety of different things.
I've heard the paletas are good.
Yes. So we have like fresh ice cream that we get delivered from Indianapolis, which is obviously locally done, or 2 hours away, but it's done here. It's delicious. Just different products that people maybe have grown up with that are not necessarily accessible through the big chain supermarkets.
So I understand you've been updating your Facebook page with videos that are in both English and Spanish. What sort of information have you been giving customers?
Just any updates on either our products or what policies we've adapted or even changes that the governor has released out. It just kind of has been a variety of things depending on what we've implemented or questions that we get. When we started to do like the social distancing policies, we did put it up so people would see it and so they would be aware of it once they came into the store. We also did almost like a 411 on what the shutdown meant in Illinois. And there were just different questions on it. So we did essentially a summary of it, both in Spanish and in English, of what it meant and what it meant to the store.
What sort of response have you gotten from the Spanish-speaking community?
The social distancing part of it was, that was strange and completely new to everyone in general, but it was especially to them because we were actually one of the first ones to do it. Even the big chains had not done it. And so when we first started to do it, their response was, why? Why are you doing this? And when you try to explain, hey, this is what's going on, this what is being recommended, a lot of people would even ask. We got questions as far as like, oh, are you guys sick? Or why is it that you're doing this? And so we tried to explain it's for everyone's health and it's for everyone's well-being. And I think it took a little bit for everyone to get adjusted to it. But once I think they saw that other places were doing it as well, they understood why it was being done.
According to the Pew Research Center, concern about the coronavirus is more pronounced among people who are Latino. I think it was about 2/3 of Latinos said that they were very concerned compared to just half of the general population. I wonder if do you get a sense of that among members of the Latino community that visit your store?
Yes. Like once we were done essentially with the shock of it being here, I think people have embraced and have been trying to take care of each other. I think that they are aware of things, and I think a lot of it also comes from restrictions that they've heard and that they know have happened back in their home countries. So restrictions here are nothing compared to essentially restrictions that have happened in other countries that they can come from. And so because of those restrictions that they hear either from relatives or people that they know from, they realize the depth and the length of the gravity of the situation.
Interesting. So it's more they're hearing about relatives or from people in their home countries that it's more severe restrictions in those places.
Correct. So there's certain towns and there's certain areas where literally people are not allowed to leave. So if you are not from that area, you are not allowed to enter or go in or out. There's, for example, in Guatemala, there is a time curfew. You are not allowed to be out after 6. You get fined or put in jail if you are. Elderly are not allowed to be out. And there's certain towns where you are not allowed to go into other towns. Essentially, South and Central America, certain countries have taken this to a different level. And so because they hear this and they see what's happening here, I think that combination has them on alert.
I wonder if you have an opinion about whether it's difficult for people who speak Spanish primarily to get the information that they need here in Illinois, where there are so few Spanish language media outlets.
I think at the very beginning, it was harder because it wasn't well communicated at the very beginning. And so at the very beginning, I personally, from what I've seen, saw a lot of resistance to new policies. So for example, the 6 feet social distancing, there was a lot of questioning and not necessarily resistance, but a little bit of resistance and questioning of why that was being done. Now with, let's say, these masks that the governor has now asked us to wear when we're in stores or out in public, now I feel that there have been, it's been better delivered. And so the news outlets that are done by the governor, both in Spanish and in English, I think have helped. And I think that there's a lot of community members who've taken it upon themselves to educate and try to inform the public of what is going on. There's a lot of Facebook groups or a lot of text groups where information is shared, and there are trusted community members that share factual information of what the policies or what the changes have been. And because of them, it's been an easier transition, especially, I will say, these last few weeks.
That was Marley Corrado, manager of El Progreso, a grocery store and butcher shop in Urbana-Champaign, specializes in imported foods from South and Central America, talking about providing information on the stay-at-home orders and social distancing guidelines to customers on social media. If you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. I'd like to bring another voice into the conversation now. We were talking about the disconnect between black and brown communities in Illinois, and particularly in Chicago, and city officials and the media. And we are joined now, I think, by V. Harrison. She's a journalist with The Tribe, a digital media platform that showcases the stories of black Chicago. V, thanks so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. How's everyone doing?
You know, I can't complain. How are you? You're closer
good.
To the epicenter
Sorry
than I am.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. I don't know what was going on there, but I'm happy to be here still.
Well, and we are happy to have you. So in your piece for The Tribe about this disconnect between young people in the city and the news media, it's framed around this house party that took place April 25th on the city's west side. Can you tell us a little bit about that party?
Absolutely. So some millennials, young millennials between the ages of 19 and probably early 20s, decided they were going to have a party to memorialize their friends. In doing that, they violated stay-at-home orders by gathering without practicing social distance. And in my article, I had the young lady who was a party attendant, as well as somebody who went live at the party. So her and I chatted about her experience and the fact that they were memorializing a friend at the time.
And when you say memorializing, just to be clear about that, they were memorializing friends who had been lost to gun violence, right?
That's exactly right. They were memorializing friends who had been lost to gun violence.
So what did she tell you about defying the stay-at-home order? Obviously, this drew a lot, you know, because it was live on Facebook and there was a video of it,
sure.
It did draw a lot of online condemnation. What did she have to say?
She did tell me that, you know, she realized that she wasn't social distancing, but she feels like, you know, it was absolutely necessary to meet up. She also felt like Pink Purcell, I'm talking about in my story, also felt that, you know, it's absolutely necessary in her type of a neighborhood in Chicago to get out and get some fresh air, you know. And she quoted something very vividly contrasting people who are richer than her and her peers,
mm-hmm.
basically saying, you know, if I had a basketball court and the celebrities will come bring a basketball court to my home, maybe I can stay home and it'll be easier like it is for them. So a lot of discussion around that specific quote and why her and her friends decided to go to that party that night.
Yeah, I mean, you do hear that sort of thought out there quite a bit that, you know, it's one thing if you're on the Gold Coast in Chicago or in the Loop and you got a fancy building and you got, you know, amenities and things like that. It's another if you're, you know, in just a little less luxurious place to stay, I guess. You asked the person you talked to if she knew about the death rate in Chicago's African-American community. And what was her response to that?
More specifically, I asked St. Purcell if she realized that Black people were more vulnerable to contract COVID and if she knew that Black people were the highest dying because of COVID. And St. Purcell told me that she did not know that.
So, I think that gets at what is so interesting about your story. And one of the sort of essential points that you were making is that it highlights this disconnect between government officials, news media, and younger Black Chicago residents regarding information on COVID-19. Can you talk about that disconnect?
Absolutely. The disconnect is basically young people having justifications to not trust the news. The way that they're typically seen in the news makes them believe that they don't have a good reflection in the news. So Tink Purcell admitted to me that she does not personally watch the news, that is depressing and usually boring. I had sources in my article like Damate Pongo from MTV, who cited what Tink Purcell said in relation to young people not really seeing themselves in a positive light, which is why they're disengaged. And there's been decades of that. So I really believe that the disconnects really comes from the fact that young people are being informed differently, and city officials really need to get down to the bottom of that so that we can better educate the younger Black millennials in Chicago specifically, and so that we can save lives in those communities.
And we've only got about a minute left, but I mean, what, you know, can you talk a little bit more? What are some specific things that you think the city might be able to do to get more people to comply with the stay at home order?
Great question. I think one of the most important things, and Lightfoot has been saying this a lot in her narrative, is that she absolutely needs to meet people where they are. City officials need to absolutely talk a language that young people understand. I do think it's going to take some tough love, to be honest with you. A lot of our young people have some underlying conditions and some deep-rooted mental trauma that I don't think even they're aware of. So we're going to have to get down to that empathetically. We're going to have to heal our young people in a way that then opens their ears, hearts, and minds to understanding the dangers of COVID-19, specifically in their community. Very important.
And only about 30 seconds left in this. You know what, actually, if you can hold on, we're gonna take a quick break coming up here, and I'd like to keep talking with you after our break. We're going to change our format a little bit that we were planning for the show today. So I will just say, yeah, if you're just because this is an important conversation, I want to be sure to give it the time that it deserves, despite our minor technical problems earlier. So if you're just joining us, we've been speaking with V. Harrison. She's a journalist with The Tribe, an online media platform in Chicago. Her recent article, A West Side House Party, exposes the disconnect between young Black residents, Chicago officials, and news during the COVID-19 pandemic came out. That's what we're talking about. We will tweet that. You can follow us at 21STShow. More with our conversation with V. Harrison coming up after this short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the, as we've mentioned on previous weeks, Black and brown communities in Illinois are more likely to suffer the negative effects of the coronavirus pandemic. And we've been speaking with V. Harrison, a journalist with The Tribe, which is a Chicago-based digital media outlet, showcases the stories of Black Chicago. And she recently published an article about the disconnect between the city's young Black residents, city officials, and the news media. Just before the break, we were talking about what the city might be able to do to better reach young residents. And I wonder, V, if you can talk about the mayor has been going around and actually, you know, obviously there were the memes, but she has actually been out there. And I saw some reporting from over the weekend where she was like actually, you know, told a group of young people on a playground to go home, and you know, some of them shouted back at her, "You go home." I mean, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what reception that the city's you know, efforts have been getting as they have tried to increase communications with the community?
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to think that Lightfoot is listening to the narrative that the tribe is really trying to publish and get across the city, and that's simply meeting people where they are. She mentioned my article during her press conference on April 29th and said that she found it very insightful. Probably a day after that, we started seeing some reaction and Lightfoot going out into actual neighborhoods like Garfield Park, with what you just mentioned, telling a group of kids on a basketball court, go home. I do not believe, honestly, however, that the reception is exactly what Lightfoot wants and city officials are expecting. Again, because young Black people in Chicago are very traumatized due to gun violence that have led to police violence and police brutality against Black and brown communities, I believe that city officials are having a tough time bridging that gap between young people and themselves. I believe that it's also getting very hard for city officials to get through because of this. So I see Lightfoot amping it up. You know, she's going on TikTok. She's doing online graduations. She's really trying to get through to the young people who are most vulnerable during COVID-19, but it's not working. And I really do think there's a connect. There's a disconnect as to why that's happening.
And just briefly, and we've only got maybe a minute or so left here, but you also talk about the media, and this, and we mentioned that earlier, but this is a big part of this disconnect. You know, I don't expect you to solve the problems of how the media has lost young Black Chicago in 30 seconds, but is there anything you think the media could be doing sort of writ large, not the tribe, obviously, but you know, the broader media should be doing to try and, you know, reach people where they are?
Absolutely. I think more faces of people who are impacted need to be in stories. That helps change the narrative. I'm continuing to tell people that 26-year-old Tink Purcell from the west side of Chicago was a very loud voice in my story that happened to go viral 5 days ago. I think it's very important that we tell the narratives of the people that are impacted, that help us better educate them and get their perspectives out there. And I also think it's very important that we treat everyone like this as human as we can, with as much empathy as we can. Everyone has to deal with COVID in their own way, in their own neighborhoods, under their very own circumstances. So I find it very important that the media creates a narrative that allows others across the entire state, across the entire country, create a narrative so that people can empathize and that we can better figure out how to keep one another alive.
V. Harrison is a journalist with The Tribe, an online media platform based in Chicago. V, thanks so much for coming on The 21st today. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Please follow The Tribe, thetribe.com. That's two I's. So The Tribe, TRIIBE.com. Please follow my writing, V.O. Harrison, the new general assignment reporter for The Tribe. And I look forward to changing the narrative in Chicago.
All right. And we will have all those links on our website, 21stshow.org. Thanks again.
That sounds great. Look forward to seeing the show.